are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. If you're like me, you're spending a good chunk of today crossing your fingers that Karl-Anthony Towns might return to the floor tonight against the Pacers. Apparently, there's a chance that that happens, like a real chance, not just the 14th time in a row that he's listed as questionable with no real shot at playing, apparently. You might remember that he was close to playing Saturday in Houston and also was ready to play Monday in Monday at home, I guess, against the Thunder, except for he came down with the sick bug that so many guys on the team have had over the past, I guess, month. Everybody that had it missed at least two or three games. Travion Graham, I think Napier missed a game at one point. Jeff Teague, Wiggins missed over a week. So who knows with Towns? There hasn't been an injury report released as of this recording very early on Wednesday. So not sure whether or not he'll be available. Usually Timberwolves PR releases a practice day injury report about 24 hours out from the game, but they didn't do that. So not sure if he's going to be questionable again or not, but seems to be 50-50 in terms of how long this illness has lasted for people, but apparently he's knees ready. So fingers crossed that he's able to play tonight. It's been, you know, basically a month since we've seen Towns on the floor and a month of Timberwolves basketball with no Towns and a very subpar Andrew Wiggins for much of that time has been a rough month. So here's hoping he's back. Today, we are going to spend much of our time previewing Wolves Pacers, and then we'll spend a few minutes ranking the Timberwolves, the players on the Wolves that are most likely to be traded by the February 6th deadline. I'm going to rank them based on rumors, contracts, etc., just who I feel is the most likely players to be traded, maybe the top four or five, something like that, and why. All right, let's go ahead and jump into Wolves Pacers. As mentioned, there hasn't been an injury report released. I would assume that Towns will still be listed as questionable. Jake Lehman will be listed as out. However, Lehman is starting to do some work on the court. I think it was Darren Wolfson who tweeted out that Lehman was doing some on-court work, but his injury is actually turf toe, and he still isn't really close to playing. A lot of times, I mean, football players that have turf toe miss, in a lot of cases, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And we're going on just a little bit more than that. And who knows how severe the injury was. Sometimes that injury can be so bad that players need surgery. So thankfully, it doesn't sound like that's been the case with Lehman. So especially with the Wolves kind of on the fringes of the playoff race, I wouldn't expect them to rush him back. But it's good that he's getting back on the court. And also a little bit of clarity that it's not, sprained toe doesn't sound awful, but a turf toe is awful. So, I don't know why the Wolves aren't calling it that, but at any rate, don't expect to see Lehman on the floor tonight. And there's at least a chance we'll see Karl-Anthony Towns. I know we've been saying that for a while, but it seems real this time. As for the Pacers, they got Malcolm Brogdon back the other night. He had missed 8 of the last 9 games with an injury. He came back and played well in the Pacers' last win. Victor Oladipo's still out until the end of they're targeting the end of January for a return, so he would then miss this game against the Wolves, as well as the Friday game in the home-and-home series. So the Wolves won't have to see Oladipo this year. I guess the big news would be that Domantas Sabonis is listed as questionable for this game. And that's huge. Sabonis has been arguably their best player this year, certainly their best player with Brogdon out, and would be especially if Towns is not available for the Wolves, it would be that much more significant for Sabonis to not be available. And if Towns was on the floor and no Sabonis, then that's obviously a big deal too. So he's questionable heading into the game. Again, we don't really have an update at this point, but that would definitely change the complexion of the game if he's not available to play. The Pacers overall this year have been better than expectations. I don't have their over under win total in front of me, but it was right around the 40 game, maybe low 40s win total mark, and they're already 25-15. They started the season, their first few games weren't great. They went on a really long extended hot streak. They've started to struggle a little bit more lately, basically since Christmas. They've lost to some teams that you wouldn't necessarily expect them to win, but they've also lost some games that they should have won. On the road recently, they lost at the Pelicans just about a couple of weeks ago. They also lost at the Hawks, was one of their more recent losses. So there's certainly some road issues there for the Pacers against teams that they probably should beat. So there's some opportunity. They've also within the last month or so lost to the Pistons. And so it's the Pacers aren't, you know, they're 25 and 15, but they've at least started to lose a few games that they were winning earlier in the season. Most recently, they won at Chicago by 11 and then beat the Sixers at home by 6 the other night in Brogdon's return. So, and that was kind of a late rally that they used to propel themselves back past Philadelphia. And that was a home game for the Pacers. So there certainly is opportunity there for the Pacers to stumble. If the Wolves are going to win one game of the home and home, of course, it's going to be more likely that it's Wednesday. The Pacers are only 9-10 on the road of their 25-15 record, which, do the math, that means that they are 16-5 at home. So good opportunity for the Wolves to still come away with a win against a good team on Wednesday, just simply based on some of those trends. As far as the Pacers as a team, they don't actually shoot that many three-pointers, which is a little bit unexpected. If you haven't watched them play, you'd think, you know, with some of the players that they have in the rotation that they'd shoot more. But in terms of league-wide, they are... I lost my number here. League-wide, they were in the bottom five in the league in terms of attempting three-pointers per game this year. Here we are. They are actually last in the league in attempting three-pointers per game, but they're fifth in three-point percentage. And you look at some of the guys, so their best player is Sabonis, and he only shoots about a three a game at 25%. But everybody else that attempts threes is a league average or above shooter from deep. You look at Doug McDermott off the bench. He plays 20 minutes off the bench. He's shooting a career high, almost 44% from three on four attempts a game. Miles Turner shoots 4.5 a game at 35%. Malcolm Brogdon shoots 4 a game at 34%. Justin Holiday shoots 4.5 a game at 40%. So they've got, it's not a huge part of their offense, at least in compared to other teams. They do a lot of their damage inside the arc. They attempt the second most two-pointers of any team. They don't actually get to the free throw line that often either. Sabonis does a lot of damage in the post. They do a lot of things in between the arc and the paint, which is a little bit in contrast to obviously most of the more progressive offenses. But the way that that can work is all the players on the perimeter standing there waiting for kickout passes are league average or above three-point shooters. There aren't any Trevion Grahams or Jarrett Culvers or Josh Okogies who are well below league average, or even Andrew Wiggins standing on the perimeter that don't exactly strike fear in opposing teams. Instead, it's a bunch of guys who can knock down a three at least, you know, 1.5 out of every three times, almost 1.5 out of every three times as a team. So the idea here is that the Pacers can do their damage in the paint and then kick out to these open, solid three-point shooters, and that's been working for them. In terms of offensive rating, the Pacers are 12th in the league, and that's without Victor Oladipo at their disposal. And of course, he should fit in pretty seamlessly. And then Brogdon's also missed several games recently. And so you're looking at the best players on this team, Sabonis and Brogdon, Miles Turner. Jeremy Lamb's actually had a little bit of a disappointing season as a primary starter for the Pacers. He's averaging only 13 points a game and he's only shooting 44% from the field, 33.5% from beyond the arc. TJ Warren's been extremely good this year. He's averaging 18 points a game. He's been solid defensively. So a lot of guys have really stepped up where they weren't really expected to. And Miles Turner's been really good again this year. People started to think that he was more disposable that he was going to be more of a disposable piece of this team. But he's been pretty good. And they've relied heavily on the duo of Sabonis and Turner down low. Brogdon, again, has had a strong season. So he's the guy that the Wolves are going to need to look out for on their perimeter. Again, we're back to the struggling with high usage guards, guys who can score from the perimeter and get to the rim. And Brogdon fits that mold. He's become more efficient as he's progressed in his career. And even though he's only a 34% shooter from beyond the arc, you still have to respect that shooting ability. He's averaging just a shade under 18 points a game, 7.5 assists a game, 4.5 rebounds a game. So expect Brogdon to play a big role in this game. And also Jeremy Lamb, even though I mentioned that he's not having a dynamic year in terms of his shooting percentages, he's still a dangerous player. And the Wolves struggle with guards who can get hot and score, and Lamb would fall into that category. So those are the guys the Wolves will need to look out for primarily. All right, next we're going to get into some potential trade talk and what players the Wolves what players the Wolves are most likely to trade, according to my opinion, heading into the trade deadline. But first, did want to mention our friends at Echelon. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to get a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality, at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone. Busy moms and dads, first responders, elite athletes, whatever your activity level might be. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. Okay, we are just outside the 3-week kind of lead up to the trade season. The deadline is 3 weeks from Thursday of this week. So that is why you're hearing all these trade rumors ramp up, all this discussion. It seems like almost every day there's a new team blog site that's talking about Robert Covington and why they should trade for him. I saw a Dallas Mavericks piece yesterday somewhere. So Covington is going to be the name we keep hearing about the most. However, what I wanted to do today is talk about the 5 Timberwolves players that I think are most likely to be traded in order from most likely to least likely, but I guess at least the top 5. A couple of these aren't going to be surprises, but I think when considering players to be traded, you have to consider, obviously, several different things. 1 being contract, 2 being the current fit with the team, 3 being future fit with the team, and also needs of the other teams that are out there. And the Wolves don't actually have that many tradable contracts. And so in this top 5, there's going to be a couple guys who don't have contracts that are super easy to trade, but perhaps the Wolves can pull something off, perhaps as part of a bigger deal, 3-team deal, or maybe the Wolves are, you know, incentivized to move a guy maybe earlier than they'd otherwise like to. So what we'll do is we'll go through these 5. We'll spend a little bit of time on each one, not equal time, just kind of depending on the player. So first, I think the most likely player to be traded, Covington's the one that we're all talking about all the time, but Jeff Teague is the most likely player to be traded. Why? He has an expiring contract. He's on the books for $19 million this year. He's an unrestricted free agent this offseason. And he also, he plays point guard. That's a position that a lot of teams can look at and be like, oh, we need a guy. We need a backup. We can upgrade here. And the Wolves obviously there's no reason they wouldn't want to move him with his money coming off the books anyways. And, theoretically, he could step in and start for somebody, although I don't know that there's very many playoff teams that need a starting point guard. So expect Teague to be traded. I would be really surprised if he wasn't. Unless the Wolves suddenly rip off like 5, 6, 7 straight wins over the next couple of weeks, I would expect Teague to be moved. Really, you move him for almost anything. Obviously, the salary is the thing. Can there be enough players involved to match his $19 million salary? Can the Wolves take enough back? They don't have the roster space actually, so it would potentially be a 3-team trade, or the Wolves might need to give somebody up that they don't really want to, that might be on a lower salary, a guy like Trevion Graham, possibly a Kade Bates-Diop as a throw-in, maybe a Jordan Bell, any of those guys that have smaller salaries, but simply the Wolves would need to free up some roster space, and would rather perhaps they end up waiving a couple guys or something if they make a trade to bring back some talent. But it's pretty unclear what Teague could bring back in a trade. Likely we're looking at a second round pick and then some salaries to match it, and probably not a ton of upside there, maybe a couple of picks. I don't know that there's going to be a Jeff Teague bidding war out there, but expect the Wolves to try hard to move Jeff, and I think that they're going to be able to. There's $19 million is too much for him, but as an expiring contract, that doesn't matter. It'd be different if they were trading him, a year or two ago. So expect Teague to be traded. He remains the most likely player to be moved on the Wolves roster. Second, it's going to be Robert Covington. I've already made my prediction officially a couple of times in this podcast, but I'll remind everyone, I don't think he gets traded. I think that he will continue to be the most talked about potential piece to be traded. And this is, again, a variety of things. Prime of his career, 2 years left on his deal after this one at a really affordable rate, under $13 million. He's being paid $11.3 this year, $12.1 next year, $12.9 in 2 years. So this, his contract takes him through his prime years. He appears to be healthy again for the most part. Affordable contract, one of the league's best defenders. He's still a solid three-point shooter. It's dipped a little bit this year, but he's always been above a league average three-point shooter, and he has range. He'll shoot it from anywhere. And he's actually been a pretty good cutter this year as well. He seems to have been a little bit more aggressive in trying to cut to the basket and get into the paint. So that's obviously not his forte, but it's something that he's comfortable doing. There's everything about Covington as a trade asset is really attractive. And for those reasons, and because I think the Wolves, I mean, if they're really building around Towns, they're going to have to be competitive in the next year or two. The Wolves recognize that, and there's no incentive for them to trade Covington unless someone absolutely blows them away with an asset that's going to appreciate quickly and be really good in a year or two, or really high first round pick, which could do the same thing. I don't see Covington being moved, because even though there's going to be a bidding war, everything we've talked about so far is the Lakers offering Kyle Kuzma and matching salaries, and the Celtics offering, Daniel Tice and basically other matching salaries. I mean, there isn't anything those are nice players, but Covington at his best over the next 2 years with the Wolves filling in the gaps around Towns, Teague's contract coming off the books, Gorgie's contract coming off in a couple years. I mean, there's going to be some cap space to play with, and the Wolves should be able to fill in some of those gaps in free agency, potentially the draft, other trades. I mean, they don't have a ton of tradable assets, but without giving up Covington, without giving up the guy who's arguably the second, certainly at least the third best player on the team, to basically, tread water, there's really no incentive for the Wolves to do that. So it wouldn't shock me if Culver stayed on the team. That's my official prediction. That said, because of him being the clear best tradable asset that's not named Karl Anthony Towns, he has to be listed second on this list as a guy who possibly could be traded. And then it gets kind of weird. I mean, there aren't very many other tradable contracts that the Wolves would be incentivized to trade. I'm sure there would be some interest in Josh Okogie in year two, or Jarrett Culver in his rookie year. Kata Bates-Diop could be included as a throw-in somewhere. But the next three guys are all just kind of, this is my guess, based on their contract and what they could provide a contending team. I put Noah Vonleh third on my list, which is a little bit weird because he's only making a couple million dollars vet minimum. He's making, what's he making exactly? He is making exactly $2 million, and he's unrestricted free agent this summer. He signed a 1-year deal, but clearly his role isn't exactly what he signed up for. He thought he was going to be the primary backup to Towns, and he was to start the year. But Gorgui Dieng's emergence and recently Naz Reid's emergence has made him a little bit redundant. And he's still a really solid rotation player. He's a very good kind of fourth big off the bench for a contending team, which wouldn't be any more minutes a game than he's getting now, maybe 10 to 14 minutes a game for a contender. But I'm sure he'd rather be in that role on a contender than this team. He can provide solid defense. He can knock down, a three at 30%. He can score a bit in the paint, even though he's a little undersized, but he's a good defender, and he's been really good when he's been on the court for the Wolves. I could see them trading him for a pick, or a bit player type of a thing, just to get him in a better situation and pick up an asset along the way. So I would almost kind of expect him to be moved. Those are the type of guys that teams would be looking to pick up right around the trade deadline. So don't be surprised if Vonleh is moved, because there's, again, he's a free agent this summer, and his role isn't what they thought it would be this year. Along those same lines, the next guy on my list would be Gorgui Dieng. Clearly, the Wolves have been open to trading him for a couple of years. He was extended during that summer when the cap shot up and everybody got a ton of money, and Gorgui was up for his rookie extension, and Tom Thibodeau gave it to him. Didn't seem all that crazy at the time, mostly just because the Wolves couldn't really afford to lose him at the moment, and also because everybody else was getting paid money. Looking back on it, the fact that Gorgui Dieng's making over $16 million this year is kind of crazy. And that said, at the start of the year, he wasn't even in the rotation, and he was one of the higher paid players who was just getting DNP CDs every night. But he's been awesome lately. He's been really good since Towns has been out. He's been a solid contributor to this team. It remains to be seen whether or not he's going to be given minutes next to Towns, as he spent basically a season and a half doing under Thibodeau, but hasn't really played next to Towns much at all since Ryan Saunders took over a year ago, because the Wolves have primarily played small. So unclear whether or not he'll get the opportunity to play some next to Towns. I think we, over at Dunking with Wolves, the blog that I co-manage, There was an article written about Gorgui getting minutes alongside Towns. I've seen other pieces around the Timberwolves blogosphere to that same effect. But I think the Wolves have to give it a look. All that said, because of Gorgui's recent resurgence, he does only have one more year on his deal. And the Wolves, if somebody called up and said, hey, we'll give you something for Gorgui, I think the Wolves would likely do it to get back some of that cap space potentially a little bit earlier and also pick up maybe a draft pick along the way. I don't think it's likely anybody really offers anything of value because of, you know, if he was expiring this year, I think he'd be gone for sure. I think it's likely he's traded next year. But he still has to be on this list because of his recent resurgence and because, you know, anything's really on the table for contending teams looking for front court depth. And I think Gorgui has showed that he's worthy of a rotation spot on a solid team. All right, last segment, we're going to talk about the fifth most likely player that the Wolves will be for the Wolves to trade this year. Okay, we already talked about the four most likely players to be traded by the Wolves. In order, Jeff Teague, most likely, Robert Covington, Noah Vonleh, Gorgui Dieng is the fourth most likely player for the Wolves to trade this year. And this, to be clear, this is before the trade deadline, not including the summer. The fifth most likely player to be traded on my list is Andrew Wiggins. We've talked about Andrew Wiggins ad nauseum for what feels like the last couple of years in a variety of places here on this podcast since I started hosting over the summer. And I think he still has to be on this list. We went through this period of time where it was, man, the Wolves would give him up for anything to, the Wolves wouldn't really trade Wiggins because he's playing so well. And now we've kind of swung back to, overall, this has been the best year of Wiggins' career. And you take the body of work and you can say, oh, well, he's improving and there's a glimmer of hope and they could sell high. That said, savvy teams might look at this and be like, okay, there was a couple month blip on the radar again. And then Towns got hurt and Wiggins got sick and, you know, their team had injuries and now Wiggins is back to being the previous version of Wiggins. We don't really know that. He's still been better lately than he had been the last couple of years. He's just been struggling from the floor more than anything. It's his approach is still pretty good. So I could definitely see the Wolves capitalizing on a sell high opportunity if they're blown away. And not even really blown away. If there's a solid offer where the Wolves can get out from some of that money and even pick up any sort of asset, I would not be shocked if the Wolves did that. And I think it's unlikely just because of that's just a huge in-season trade to pull off. And that's a ton of money on Wiggins' contract. And that would be, you know, a contending team trading for Wiggins would be really overhauling their roster to make a trade like that work. Perhaps there's a team that's on the fringes, that's on the periphery, that is really trying to, you know, make a splash that could talk themselves, you know, that isn't a likely playoff team this year, but could talk themselves into making a move for Wiggins and then potentially being a playoff team next year or the year after that. Basically, it seems in a similar situation to the Wolves. I mean, you look at the teams like that, Phoenix Suns, unlikely. They've got Devin Booker, and I don't know that there's any reason that they would want to trade Booker in a move for Wiggins. Sacramento Kings are always a possibility for stuff like that. I doubt the Pelicans would get in on anything like that or the Trailblazers. Maybe Memphis. Maybe, you know, the Thunder, I would have said, had they not gone on this recent hot streak and been solidly in the seventh spot, the Thunder could have been a candidate for that. The Chicago Bulls, Detroit Pistons, those feel like a couple of teams that could make a move like this. Washington Wizards, a bunch of teams that are kind of, you know, they're within striking distance of the playoffs, but realistically, they're building for the future and could sell an Andrew Wiggins trade as hey, we have hope. And this guy was the rookie of the year and he's a former number one pick. Charlotte is one that we've talked about before on this podcast as a team that could certainly sell that. And Wiggins would work there. There's some salaries that could match. And they're right now, they're five games out of the eighth spot, but they're ninth in the East and essentially tied with Detroit and Chicago. So, I mean, look at teams like that as possibilities for Andrew Wiggins. Again, I don't think it's likely he's moved by this deadline, but we have to mention it as a possibility. He has to be number five on this list just because there is still some perceived value there. There's some perceived ceiling that Wiggins still has to reach at his age. The money is what's prohibitive, but I truly believe the Wolves are open to that, to moving him at this point, freeing up some cash to, you know, to maybe make this other acquisition, whether it's this summer or maybe as part of a bigger trade at the deadline, D'Angelo Russell, you know, Devin Booker, free agents this summer, just guys that the Wolves would want to fit around Towns. And Wiggins is again, prohibitive to them accomplishing that. So don't be surprised if there's some conversations, maybe something that leaks out that there's a possibility Wiggins is moved. I wouldn't expect him to. I think all along I've kind of been saying next summer is a real possibility, but I'd be surprised if he was moved at the deadline. That said, it has to be mentioned. I think he's on that list and it's certainly possible. So to recap, the five most likely Timberwolves to be traded in order: Jeff Teague, Robert Covington, Noah Vonleh, Gorgui Dieng, Andrew Wiggins, and then any of those other players kind of on the periphery. I mentioned Kata Bates-Diop in his second year with a very tradable contract. And you could look at Josh Okogie as a possibility. I think he fits this team still really well as kind of an off-the-bench, change-things-up guy, and I don't think the Wolves would trade him on his contract. I think he's worth it. There's still upside there, obviously. And I certainly wouldn't expect them to trade Jarrett Culver, but I'm sure nobody's untouchable except for Karl-Anthony Towns, and I think it's important to mention that too, because really anything could happen, and Gerson Rosas has a reputation of, that Rockets reputation where he was for so many years. He'll do whatever he needs to do to get the stars to the team, and if that includes trading some young assets or doing something unexpected or shifting course quickly, that's certainly something that he seems willing to do. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll obviously cover any rumors that come out over the next 3 weeks or so. As we get closer to the deadline, we'll spend more time talking about those rumors as well. So a lot more trade talk to come. All right, we'll be back Thursday with a recap of Wednesday night's game. We'll talk through the game against the Pacers at Target Center on Wednesday. Hopefully, Karl-Anthony Towns return. We'll talk through studs and duds as well on Thursday's show. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.